Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is KYMN 1080 AM for nearly 50 years and, of course, now 95.1 FM, The One. Well, here it is, February, and it is the sixth day of February in the year 2018. Part three with my guest, Brad Ness, coming up. A couple of comments before that. I would like to say that, you know, I have a lot of friends, as you do too, that live in the Twin Cities and they have to drive to work, maybe even from Northfield driving to work in the Twin Cities. And I noticed this morning it was 14 degrees below zero, and my car did not reach its maximum heating. The temperature gauge in your car, it wasn't even at its maximum by the time I got here, which means two things. It's very cold outside, and in addition to that, I have a short trip to work each day. It's kind of nice that way. A couple of things that I want to tell you that happened yesterday at the Northfield Bowling Alley, Jesse James Lanes. Brad Ness, welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair.
Thanks, Wayne. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I guess it's number three?
It is.
Okay. Do you know a guy by the name of Gary Greenland? Do you know a guy by the name of Sean Stevens? Did you ever bowl in the Businessman's League?
Yes, I did.
I thought I saw you out there a few years ago, several years ago.
Quite a few years ago, and then I was invited to join as a chaperone of the Northfield Ski Club, and that was on Mondays, so I did that.
Okay. Well, anyhow, that Businessman's League is still going.
Yes.
And last night, or yesterday, we started 4 o'clock, so we get home at a reasonable hour. But when it first started, we got home at unreasonable hours. But times, they have changed.
Yes, they have.
Here's the deal. The team that I bowl for is Carleton College, and we were bowling against a very good team. And down the to our right, about two lanes over, all of a sudden we heard this huge roar. And, of course, you wonder, what is that? So you go and you look, and there's a guy by the name of Gary Greenland, who is the coach for the Northfield High School bowling team, rolled a 300.
Wow.
Yeah, that's something.
That is impressive.
And I'll tell you what, we were all excited and happy for him. Well, in the guys that I was bowling against, and I can't name all of them, from I believe it's Nate's Garage in Cannon Falls were their sponsors, and I bowl in the second position. Brad McNeil does number one, and Butch is number three, and Neil is number four. And we're bowling against, boy, these guys are good. These guys are good. In the third game, Sean got a strike in the first, I was going to say
frame.
Inning.
Yeah, first inning.
He got a strike in the second, a strike in the third, a strike in the fourth, a strike in the fifth, a strike in the sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth. And Nate got a strike in the first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, and the ninth.
Hmm.
So we had two guys that we were bowling against that had nine strikes in a row. Now, for those of you that bowl, you know what that means. That means that in the 10th frame, you get to bowl at least two balls and maybe three. And so here we are watching these guys. And, I'm going to forget the name of the one fellow that was in the number one position. He gets up and he rolls a strike. Well, Sean follows him and he had rolled a strike. Well, not really. I'm getting out of sequence. Let's just finish with Sean Stevens. Strike, 10th one. Strike, 11th one.
And a 9.
strike in the third one. He got a 300.
So there was two that evening.
Right, but we still have this...
somebody still has enrolled.
Yeah, Nate. So he gets up there with his nine strikes, rolls her down there. We're all excited. This could be something else. He leaves the 7-6-10 split. 269, I think, was his final score. How exciting is that?
That is neat.
Yeah, so congratulations to Gary Greenland and to Sean Stevens for their outstanding bowling. It was amazing. I don't know if I've ever been there when somebody rolled a 300. I might have been, but to have...
But not two of them.
Yeah, and then one of them against me, you know. That's amazing.
So did you guys win the match, ultimately?
if you take all of the their team, Nate's Garage, if you take all of their handicap and add it all up together, it's half of what mine is. I think they were like 7 and 9 and whatever. So anyhow, it's a lot of fun, and they're very tolerant of me because when I bowl, I have to stand at the foul line and bend over and throw the ball down. Well, number one, you don't get any momentum. Number two, if you throw it too hard, you fall on your face. But it's fun. I go there for the camaraderie.
Yeah, absolutely.
And speaking about camaraderie, we've had that going for us for many, many years. And you were here. How long do you think it was that we did one and two?
Well, probably quite a few years ago on one. Two was probably 3 years ago.
Okay.
Thereabouts.
You know, time flies, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
All right. And we got you through St. Olaf, I believe.
Up to, maybe not out of, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
And so for those listeners that don't know who Brad Ness is, you're townie. You're born right here in Northfield, Minnesota.
In the old Northfield Hospital.
Yeah. And, well, now are you talking about the old Northfield Hospital or the old Northfield Hospital?
I'm talking about the one on 2nd Street.
Okay. That's the one where John Mahatchik was born. He was the first one born there in 1939.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Yeah.
And so what did, now how many siblings do you have?
One brother, two sisters.
Okay. And one is Dale?
One is Dale.
You know, Dale's quite the guy. I understand that he won quite an award one year.
He won an award?
Yeah. He was recognized as the chairman of the defeated Jesse James Day celebration.
Yes, he was. I was trying to think, okay, what award?
The story behind that, folks, is that I had been in charge of giving the outgoing chairman a plaque to say thank you for your service. And I had it all made up. It was beautiful, and I presented it to... I don't know if I presented it, but anyhow.
Yes, you did.
Okay. And so you got this nice plaque, and it reads Dale Ness.
Mm-hmm.
And I was embarrassed, and I apologized, and I said, I'll get that taken care of. You said, nope, 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 I want to keep it that way.
I said, nope, this one's going on my wall for sure.
Do you get anybody ever look at that and say, what?
Well, when we moved, we packed stuff. We moved into a townhouse 2 years ago in town here, and... stuff hasn't all gotten back up on the walls, but I did have it at my old house.
Yeah, that's cool. what are your sisters' names?
Carol.
Okay, now who's the oldest?
Dale.
And then after Dale is?
Then me.
Oh, okay. And then how much difference in age?
There's 2 years between us.
Okay.
And, well, we were born in 1953, 56, 59, 62.
Okay.
And my father missed the tax deduction on me. I was born in January. They were all born in December.
Well, happy birthday. Belated.
Thank you.
After Brad, after you is Carol?
Carol.
Okay.
So there's about 4 years difference.
Okay. And then after Carol?
Kari, K-A-R-I.
No, Kari, K-A-R-I. All right. There we go. And she's what, 6 years younger than you?
Four, seven.
Six or seven? Okay.
Yep.
All right. I got to get that identified. People listening, know your family. You want to, you know, make sure that the correct Brad Ness is in the studio here this morning. By the way, Brad Ness is a Northfield City Councilman, and we're going to be talking about things that happened that are happening at the City Council. But who were your mom and dad?
Stan was my father.
Okay.
He was vice president and treasurer at St. Olaf for not quite 40 years.
I knew him.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
As a matter of fact, I remember when the King of Norway came, and I was able to be the representative of the community. And welcome. Hey, King, how you doing, guy?
I was introduced personally to him at that visit one time. That's my claim to fame.
Yeah. Did you get a picture?
No.
Okay.
No such thing as cell phones, obviously. Yeah. And I don't know. St. Olaf may have one, but the whole family went up. And
boy, that was a really nice event. I mean, the menu presentation.
I didn't get to stay around for that. I was...
Oh, okay.
I was just getting in line and get out of here.
So you were born in 1956.
56,
okay. I was in high school at that time.
Hmm.
So anyhow, so we know that Mom and Dad were Stan Ness, and your mom's name was?
Doreen.
Doreen. And did you live on St. Olaf Avenue?
We did for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
Until I was two. It's now a little blue house right where Madison Street kind of dead ends.
Mm-hmm. I always like Madison Street. They always have people that plant beautiful gardens in summertime.
Yeah.
Yeah. I go up there specifically just to see how things are going. Did your mom work at all, or is she a stay-at-home mom with all these kids?
She was mostly stay-at-home when she had kids. She was working at St. Olaf when she met my father.
Oh, okay.
In the business office.
So. Well, today you can't do that.
No.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Shame on you.
Now, where was she from?
Born in Howard, South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Little tiny town. She was born out on a farm.
And then went to college at St. Olaf?
Did not go to college.
Oh. How did she end up at St. Olaf?
You know what? I'm not sure I know
story. You don't know that?
Mm-mm.
I mean, because she met your dad there.
Right.
She had to be in Northfield to work there.
Right.
Or Dundas or Denison or Randolph. So you don't know that story?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, maybe Dale does.
Probably my wife does.
Oh, okay. And who's your wife?
Kathy.
She's on the board of directors of the Defeated Jesse James Days, isn't she?
She is.
And she also is a coordinator of activities at the Northfield Library?
She retired from the library a year ago, right about now.
I'm mad at her.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She ran the poem contest thing for the sidewalks, didn't she?
No. That was Lynn. Lynn did some of that.
Never mind.
And the Arts and Culture Commission.
Okay,
people,
never mind.
Yeah.
Because I entered 1 year.
Yep.
I didn't win.
Huh.
I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. So when we were going through your boyhood, did you end up going to, you're too old for Greenville, right? So you went to Longfellow?
To Longfellow through fifth grade, and then sixth grade was at what is now the White Center. The old middle school.
Was it a high school or just a middle school?
It was a middle school at that time.
Okay.
But they had all the sixth grade at that school.
No.
And then 7 and 8 was at the middle school, and then 9 through 12 was at the high school.
And the high school was relatively new?
It was built in 67,
I think.
Yeah, mid-60s.
Yeah.
So.
All right, and so when you were growing up, who were the buddies that you hung around with? And where did you move to from Madison area?
Second Street, right across the street from the hospital. In fact, for when my sisters were born, my mother walked across the street in labor.
Is that so?
Oh, yeah.
You know who else lived right across the street?
Hmm.
Jerry Anderson's mom had a house there.
Jerry Anderson's mom.
Yeah, they used to live up on Smoky Point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But then she had a house over across from the hospital, probably after you were out of school, et cetera. And so when you were in high school, were you the class president?
No, no.
Were you the vice president?
No.
Did you play football?
Played football 2 years, just my junior and senior year.
How come so late?
Well, I had braces on my teeth, and my orthodontist at the time said, no, you can't play football.
How'd they turn out?
Still crooked.
Smile. Hey, there you go. Okay. You did a nice job.
Yeah.
You know, it's about $8,000 nowadays to have braces.
It is not cheap.
So when you did finally get to play football as a junior, who was your coach?
Don Hill.
Well, Don was my guest last Friday. And he's still feisty.
Oh, yeah.
Not as feisty as he used to be, but in tune with what's going on. And he's like 82 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and we forget. I mean, holy cow. But he looks good.
Right.
So what position did you play?
Defensive back mostly.
Ah.
Safety.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're such a big guy. You think they'd had you on the line.
Nope.
You were a skinny kid then?
Yeah. Skinnier, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, okay. So, did you play that position both years?
I did, mostly. Did a little bit of running. Running back.
Running around? Or?
Yeah, running that.
I always ask everybody, men or women, that have had the opportunity to participate in sports, no matter what, that there's one thing that you'll never forget the rest of your life that involved you in a football game, whether it's a game or a play. There's something that you'll never forget. I mean, you don't share it with anybody. It's yours. It's in your heart and mind. And I've got one play I'll never forget, et cetera. What's yours?
I don't remember who we were playing. It was here at the old Memorial Field. Made an interception. Saw it wide open to the end zone. And about 2 seconds later, got tackled. just something that, you know, I thought, oh, I'm going to score.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Okay. Did you win the game?
I think we did.
Yeah, but is that back when you were in the Big Nine?
We were in the Minnesota.
Okay.
But Burnsville and Apple Valley and those schools were also in the Minnesota Conference.
Lakeville, would that have been
Lakeville?
There? Farmington, maybe?
Farmington.
New Prague?
I'm not sure
who
Prague was.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. Northfield is always, in the Big Nine era, you know, little Northfield college town take on the blue-collar Austin. I mean, those games, and Rochester and Mankato, and it was amazing. But the Minnesota Conference, I thought, was a pretty exciting conference.
It was.
And you graduated what year?
74.
74, okay. And KYMN Radio was here at that time. We had a Coach's Corner show, and we didn't have nighttime service at that time.
Right.
So we couldn't do the games, but we recorded many of them and played them back in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Right after school.
Yep.
So kids like to hear their names and all that stuff. And I remember that play that, and now it's intercepted by Brad Ness, and he's at the 5, the 6. Oh, boy, having a lot of fun. Brad Ness, my guest on KYMN Radio. So then, of course, after high school, was there anything else in high school? Did you play instruments?
Swimming.
Sing? Oh, Skip Boyan?
Swam for Skip for 2 years.
All right. What's your most exciting thing that you remember when swimming for Skip Boyan?
Well, I only swam for 2 years. I was playing basketball.
Well, tell me your swimming moment.
Yeah. But he convinced me to come out for swimming, and I qualified for the state swim meet.
Wow.
My senior year.
Wow.
And placed 12th in the 100-yard breaststroke, and our relay took fourth place. That I was on the first relay, the medley relay.
What position in the relay?
I swam breaststroke.
Mm-hmm.
The relay consists of two lengths each of a backstroke, breaststroke, butterfly, and freestyle.
What's the hardest?
It depends on, you know, people have asked that before. You know, I was comfortable with swimming breaststroke. A lot of people can't.
Yeah, that's, I would say, would be the toughest one.
Well, butterfly is my toughest stroke. There's no way I can. And
what is a butterfly?
Both arms come out of the water at the same time, and your kick cannot. Your feet have to stay together and up and down at the same time.
Okay. You're like a mermaid almost.
Almost like a mermaid.
On the back end.
And people that swim butterfly beautifully still tick me off.
Yeah. And that's all based on time, right?
It is.
You know, they don't look and say, oh, his feet weren't together.
Well, like the official on the side of the pool can disqualify.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. All right, so basketball. Now, I would assume Jed Domeyer was your coach?
He was coach, yeah, through 10th grade. Yep.
Through 10th grade.
10th grade, I played basketball, you know, and I was the kind of guy that if we were ahead by 82 points, I got in for the last 4.5 seconds.
Okay, so you were the 12th man off the bench.
Exactly.
Okay. What play do you remember getting into actual game, et cetera?
Basketball, not very much. You know,
you got to go in at least once, didn't you?
Oh, a few times.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What did you do? Did you steal a ball, or did you make a basket, or did you dribble down the court?
Made some free throws.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Got fouled.
Yeah. Okay, so. Ness, get in there and get fouled.
Yeah.
Okay. I still don't understand that to this day, like in the professionals, or they foul people on purpose and the strategy. And I also can't understand how can they double dribble, and how can they palm the ball, and how can they take 4 steps to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that isn't the rule, you know. And basketball for women was born right here at Carleton College.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. So now we got through your athletic career.
Uh-huh.
And now you have to decide. I'm going to try to make these brief somewhat so we can talk some city business.
Sure.
Second hour, probably. So, being a kid whose dad was a big deal up on the St. Olaf campus, I would assume that you then would have a choice to go to any school in Mayak, is it? And at the same reduced tuition as you would at St. Olaf?
There was a Lutheran School Association, and I don't remember what it was called, but
Luther was one of them, Gustavus,
right.
Adolphus.
Pacific Lutheran University, and there was about 12, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But my parents said, look at any of them and choose the one you want. So.
Did you visit campuses?
I did not go on too many visits. I was pretty much set on going to St. Olaf.
And any reason? Did Dale go there?
Dale went there.
Okay. Family tradition.
Yeah.
Okay. And you wanted to be close to home, or did you do the dorm thing?
I did. Lived in a dorm and probably went home less than kids who lived in the cities. But the nice thing, if I needed a car, I'd walk into my dad's office and say, hey, can I use your car? And he'd throw me the keys, and then I'd park it illegally, and he'd get a ticket on his car, and I'd walk into his office and say, your car got a ticket.
that made you very popular, I'm sure, that you had access to a car. But that would have been during the day or
during the day, yeah. Mostly.
Now, what year again did you say you from St. Olaf?
78 graduate.
Of St. Olaf?
Of St. Olaf.
78, oh, okay. Did you play ball at St. Olaf?
Nope, just swam at St. Olaf. Swam for Dave Houck.
Well, there's the legend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you with his son? Were you at his age?
His oldest son was probably 4 years younger than me,
okay.
Tad.
Okay. But they set quite a few records up there at St. Olaf. They had a pool that was really nice. I think it might have been open to the public on occasions.
Just occasionally. Yeah. You know, they're pretty protective of their facilities, and rightly so.
Yeah.
You
know. Okay. We'll talk about that later.
<We will. laughs>
What about the tunnel rats? Were you one of those kids that messed around in the tunnels up on the hill?
Last time we talked, We talked about that, doing that. And yes, I was. And Fred Bear says, don't talk about that. Fred Bear is the director of security now at St. Olaf.
Oh, okay. Did you?
So Fred, if you're listening, yes, we will talk about that.
Yes, and for those of you that don't know it, there are tunnels on both campuses, and they're not available for the common public and students, et cetera. But kids, even when you were a kid living on 2nd Street as a 10, 12-year-old boy, I would imagine you went up there and found that one little sewer you could go down.
Occasionally we did that. They're mostly used for heating, you know, the building heating system runs through these tunnels. And but they're lit almost all the time.
Yeah. Now, you were around when the old beer and cheese cave was on this north side of the hill.
Yes.
Yeah, the north side. Did you ever go in there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And they eventually had to close it up because I think one or two people died in there, kids, students.
Right. Yep.
Because of a cave-in.
Correct.
And then they plugged that up.
Yep.
Okay.
And Greg Kneeser, who runs ghost tours at St. Olaf, there are several places where ghosts have been seen in St. Olaf buildings.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard this one.
If you've never taken a Greg Kneeser ghost tour and you have an opportunity, it's really interesting.
Does he do that in October?
He does it only for special events. I know Sandy Vesladol once bought one at the Historical Society fundraiser or something and invited us. I've done it. I think I've taken it three times with him, but... And the boy with the little red hat, who is seen in Thorson, which is the dorm very close to where that cave was, is the person who supposedly died in the cave, but he's seen walking the halls of that Thorson dorm.
I'm getting goosebumps.
Oh, yeah.
So how long does this tour last?
In a couple hours.
Oh, my gosh.
He'll go, you know, walk around campus and say, you know, this is part, and then you'll walk to another building. Agnes Melby, and there's a woman in a white dress who is seen walking up and down the stairs. Then you walk upstairs in that dorm, and there's a guy with a cowboy hat.
That's his imagination.
This is documented by a whole lot of people. The ghost file, which is, several inches thick, is people say, I saw this and this and this, and, you know, everybody says, yep, I saw a guy with a cowboy hat on the third floor of Agnes Melby Hall, right near this room, and it's, you know, more than one person, it's 20, 30, 50, who say the same thing, so.
Did you see any?
I have not seen any there.
Sounds like an interesting tour.
Oh, it's very interesting.
Do they have any, old presidents of the college?
I don't
athletes,
think so.
Philosophers? Is a Rolvog roaming around?
I don't think so. You know, there's probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 7.
Okay.
One in the library, little old lady, Charlotte Jacobson, I think it is. I forget her last name. But she used to shelve books, and people have seen her in a stairwell by a book cart shelving with books on it.
Well, now, do Lutherans believe in ghosts?
This Lutheran does.
It's 9:31 on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, a friend you can count on. My guest this morning is Brad Ness, and he, of course, is a city council person. We're going to talk some city business later on, but right now we're playing catch-up, but we're going slow. But it's interesting stuff. And you have to remember, Brad, that... you know, you can't assume everybody listening has listened to and remembered our last interviews. A lot of people say, well, like I told you last time, Wayne, you know. So,
yeah.
So anyhow, I'm going to talk about the quarterback club. Now, I know you've been there.
I have been there.
And I know that your favorite thing there is the flame-broiled burger.
Those are good.
And the roasted chicken.
The roasted chicken to go, I often bring to potlucks.
Oh, really?
Go and buy that instead of making something.
Yeah, that's smart. Okay. Have you tried their baby back barbecued ribs yet?
I have.
What do you think?
They're wonderful.
Isn't that amazing? I was shocked, you know, when the first serving came, and I thought, well, okay, you know, kind of a fast food place with a lot of personality, and I, holy cow, these are delicious. And I always get the whole rack.
Mm.
You know, you can't stop it. You've got to keep going. And, of course, don't forget you can get a flame-broiled burger of your choice and French fries and a drink for like $7, something like that. The Quarterback Club is locally owned and locally managed by Dale Finger. And the crew is made up of Northfield residents, and high school kids get their first jobs at the Quarterback Club in Northfield. And so why not support your local business? They're very kind when it comes to helping people in town, particularly sports programs. You agree on that?
I would agree wholeheartedly.
Now, how close are you to Dale Finger in age?
I think he was a couple years younger than me.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly when he graduated. It was close.
Yeah, okay. So you knew him in high school?
Yes.
All right. So now you chose to go to St. Olaf College, and that a lot of people say, man, I want to get out of here and get away from mom and dad and, you know, be my own person. But you chose to stay in town, and was that only because you could bring your laundry home?
I did a lot of my laundry in the facilities that were in the dorms.
Okay.
So occasionally, but I didn't expect my mother to do my laundry.
Wow. Okay. So independent. So how did you fare in at St. Olaf in anything other than the liberal arts study? Did you get involved in choir or athletics or
just swimming?
Just swimming.
Yeah.
Okay. With the great Mr. Hauk.
Yep.
All right.
Swimming season, starts 1st of October, roughly, and goes until middle of March.
Wow.
So, you know, long, long season.
Yeah.
But
did you ever shave down?
Oh, yeah. I did in high school for my senior year, and there was very, very few people who shaved their heads. And our picture was on the front page of the Minneapolis paper sports section because another guy in our relay, George Whitman, and I had shaved our heads, so we were standing in the warm-up pool. And
do you think that really helps? I mean, I know people that I've heard, and you can tell me, that people will shave all the hair off their body. I mean, their arms or everything, because it creates drag. Do you think that's true?
It is slightly true, I think, but the feel is unbelievable. If you have hair on your head and you dive in, and I think more of it is a mental than a physical, you know, drag thing, because it just feels like you're sliding through the water.
Okay.
So.
And of course, nowadays they wear swimming caps.
They do wear swim caps. Some. Occasionally, you see a kid will shave down mm-hmm. completely.
Brad Ness is my guest here on KYMN Radio. Did you were you able to do 4 years in 4 years?
I did 4 years in 4 years.
Okay, that made your dad proud.
Yep. Well, he said, and I said to my kids, I said, I will pay for 4 years. You go longer than that, it's your nickel.
Uh-huh.
So.
So was there a rush at the end to catch up, or was everything
nope.
just nice and smooth?
I just looked at my, you know, requirements, and last year I needed a course in something kind of strange, so I took that my senior year, but got out with all the requirements, and they actually gave me a signed diploma, so.
Wow. Did you go to the, what is it that they hold in the chapel every morning at 10 o'clock?
Commencement? Or no, not commencement.
That's what I was going to say, and then I went, well, wait a minute, that can't be the word.
That'd be the ending one. Yeah. Convocation.
Okay. Did you go to that on a daily basis?
Daily, no. Occasionally, yes.
Okay. It's not a prerequisite.
It is not.
Okay. Did you ever work at the radio station there?
No, I did not.
WCAL?
No.
Mel Jensen, did you know him?
I knew Mel.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
He's in the Minnesota Broadcasters Hall of Fame.
Ah. Huh.
So he's one of the first ones to go in.
I knew Paul Peterson very well.
Sweet guy.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
I like Paul.
He lived across the street from us when we lived on Fairway Drive for 20 years.
Yeah.
So.
And I talked to him, I think I talked to him this summer.
Hmm.
And He's lost his wife.
Right.
And so, and of course, our friend Bob Winter, he lost his wife. And
it's sad.
It is. You know, I don't even like to think about it.
Yep.
So now, you majored in?
Biology.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Went into St. Olph with the intentions of going to dental school. And that lasted at least through freshman year and sophomore year. I had to take organic chemistry. And organic chemistry and I did not get along. So I changed, you know, and I'd had enough sciences the first 2 years. You know, that was second semester of sophomore year. I had enough biology, so I said, well, I'll just major in that and see what happens. And never really used a biology major, but...
Now, what made you want to be a dentist?
I don't know. I had a whole bunch of years of orthodontic... You know, I was maybe even considering being an orthodontist.
Uh-huh.
So...
Wow.
But again, that all changed, and it was early enough that I didn't have to fight or go the fifth year, so...
Yeah. So, what did you switch over to, or what did you take on?
Nothing in mind. I kept taking a lot of science classes.
Yeah.
Chemistry, biology, physics. You know, more than half the classes that I took were in the science building.
Now, how have you applied that to life?
It makes you think a little bit, put stuff in perspective. I guess that's probably the only way that I've used that directly.
Mm-hmm.
Using biology information occasionally, you know, playing word games, you can come up with a whole bunch of weird biology terms. Okay. And people say, oh, that's not a word. And I said, yes, it is.
Okay.
So
now, do you still remember the periodical table?
I remember a lot of it. But it too has changed, and a whole lot of things at the end have been added. But you know,
did you think while you were studying that, like, God, I got to memorize all these things? What for?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
The only one I remember is H2SO4.
H2SO4, sulfuric acid.
That's correct. and there's a little. Joke about that. That's why I remember it. A little poem. It's 20 minutes before 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is Brad Ness. Brad is a townie, and he's also a city councilman here in town. Graduate of Northfield High School and St. Olaf College. And so ultimately what you had was a good liberal arts education.
Yes.
And the certificate that you received said that you were a bachelor of...
Bachelor of Arts.
Okay.
See, I had a Bachelor of Arts in a science, and my wife graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Art.
Okay. Whatever that means. Now, did you meet your wife, Kathy, at St. Olaf?
We met lifeguarding at the high school pool my junior year, I believe, or sophomore year.
Okay.
So.
What was her maiden name?
Larson.
Kathy Larson. I know a lot of Larsons.
Her dad, Jerry, passed away 15 years ago, thereabouts. Her mother still lives out by Dwayne Benson, Jean Larson.
Mm. Jean. G-E-N-E?
J-E-A-N. Correct.
Jean, okay.
Yep.
What did her dad do?
Sold paper for to bookstores primarily in kind of the five-state area.
Okay, I thought maybe he made boats.
No.
So, how old were you when you got married, you and Kathy?
We got married in 79. So what was I, 23?
Just a kid.
Yeah.
Just out of college a couple of years, or a year.
Well, a little over, about a year.
Yeah. So you got your degree.
Mm-hmm.
The dentist thing we set aside, we're not going to do that. And you have to now hit the streets and try to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got a lot of people that you networked with through your family and other people from St. Olaf. Were you able to take advantage of that and be steered to a job somewhere?
One of the first jobs I had was in town. There was a guy who sold wood stoves and solar system, Earthbound Natural Energy.
What's his name?
Dave Smith.
Yes, I knew him.
Hmm.
He used to date one of my, well, now ex-sister-in-laws. And Beard?
Yep.
Yep. And he was out south of Division, I think.
We were right where the rare, we were right where the rare pair is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I remember him. He was ahead of his time when it came to wood burning.
Oh, yeah. So I'd install chimneys and
you got a college degree to install chimneys? And
sure.
That's hard to work.
It is hard work.
Yeah.
And, made solar panels. We put a big solar system on a Holden hog farm barn out kind of south and east of town.
Oh, you guys were way ahead of your time.
Oh, yeah.
Did all of that science that you took help in regards to wood burning and installation and angles and all that stuff?
Not that much. There was another guy who would show me how to do stuff,
mm-hmm.
which I appreciated greatly. And it has helped in remodeling houses that I've owned.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're a hammer and nail guy, too.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. Well-rounded.
Mm-hmm.
So how long did you work for Dave?
3 years, maybe.
Wow.
2 years.
Okay.
Not that long. He was struggling at the time, so I went down the street. Well, my father-in-law says, "Oh, go talk to Ron Nelson at Town and Country."
Okay. All right. Ron Nelson. All right.
Uh-huh. So it was Ron Nelson and Dean Ness.
Yep.
And people said, "Oh, you're going to go work for your father." And I said, "Nope, no relation."
Okay. So... Did Dave live out on Woodley, if you keep going out Woodley towards Denison? Did he live out there on a farmhouse?
I'm not sure if he did. Prior, when I worked for him, he lived on the corner of 6th and Winona, I think it was.
Yeah, I used to live on 6th in Nevada.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you went to work for Town and Country, or
I did.
That was what it was called?
I did.
And, of course, my ex-partner, the late Don McRae,
mm-hmm.
was involved. Was he involved when you were there?
He was not. Ron and Dean had owned the place, so I was just going to go sell for them. And the guy I was taking over for was Loyal Burmeister, who was the principal at the middle school forever. And in middle school, I spent a fair amount of time in his office.
Mr. Burmeister, yeah.
So, I'd drive around with him on his route, his sales route, and we had the best time talking about me being in his office, and it was really neat.
Now, what area did you cover?
Went as far as... maybe Burnsville to the north.
Wow.
Austin to the south.
Oh, my gosh.
New Prague.
Wow. There wasn't that much competition?
At that time, not that much. There was. But they had a pretty big area and could do it right. Now with the Office Depots and the Office Maxes and those, people could buy stuff. Oh, I mean... Back then, they could probably buy their stuff at those places instead of buying it wholesale cheaper. So,
Now, for those of you that don't know, Town & Country was an office supply company.
Correct.
And it was located between 4th and 5th Street on the east side. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. Or west side.
I think there's an Antiques.
West side.
On the west side.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Don McRae was involved. Was he involved when you were there?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you sold for them, and that's a big territory.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable, you know,
yep.
when you think about it. And copiers were just one of the things that you serviced? Or
primarily supplies. Okay. Office supplies would sell all the pens and pencils and paper clips. And
it was always real busy at the end of August. School.
Not so much in an office situation.
Oh.
You know, you walk into a commercial business, and they're running year-round, so there wasn't really a season. Well, December got a little busy if yeah. people were trying to, you know, use up budgets. But
yeah. I enjoyed going in there. It seemed to me there was a certain smell in there that was office-y. Whatever that
office-y, yes.
Yeah. So how long did you do that, Dale? Excuse me, Brad.
Probably 5 or 6 years.
Wow. Okay, and so now you've got a family going, too.
Mm-hmm.
And how many kids do you and Kathy have?
Two.
And what are their names?
Krista.
Krista, okay. How old is she now?
She was born in 83, so she is...
1983, okay.
Yep.
And after Krista?
Anders.
A-N-D-E-R-S?
Yep.
How many people say Anders?
A lot.
Okay. Anders. And how did you come up with those names?
There's an Anders Ness in my family tree, and just like the name. And when we were in Norway, we actually saw Anders Ness grave, and my wife likes touring cemeteries, but she could not take a picture of that grave.
Because? You ran out of film?
No, because she... It just kind of freaked her out, I think.
Oh, okay.
You know, seeing, but...
My wife and I went to Norway, and she found her great-grandfather's grave up in the mountains somewhere, and it was pretty, you know, like you say, ooh.
Yeah.
And, you know, we never went in the church, and, of course, the church was open.
Sure.
And we never went in there. You know, we could have gone in there and seen how they... name all of the pastors.
Uh-huh.
And it goes back centuries.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. 10 minutes before 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio. Brad Ness is my guest here on KIM. We'll take a break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation with Brad. We'll be talking city business next hour.
The 19th annual Saints Night Out is Saturday, February the 10th. This year's theme is the Nifty 50s, so dress casual or in your favorite 50s outfit. The doors open up at 5 o'clock with dinner by the Hideaway. Silent and live auctions and a variety of games and raffles will follow. The admission is just $15. Tickets are available online. Visit the Facebook page at facebook.com/Saints Night Out for more information. Saints Night Out is brought to you in part by Forget-Me-Not Florists.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this
station. All right, America. H&R Block has some good news. For a limited time only, you could get a refund advance loan of up to $3,000 the same day you file at Block. That's right. You could get up to $3,000 today. No interest. Told you it was good news. To learn more or find participating locations near you, visit HRBlock.com. Get your taxes won. Optional tax refund related loan from BofI Federal Bank. Not your tax refund. $500, $750, $1,250, or $3,000 loans offered. Approval and loan amount based on expected refund and other conditions. Funds loaded on prepaid card. Tax returns may be e-filed without applying for this loan. Fees for other products or features may apply.
H&R Block, 1300 Bolenbacher Drive in Northfield. Open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, 9 to 5. Walk-ins are welcome or call 605-6381 for an appointment.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. I was picking music as bumper music This particular song was number one in 1988 when KYMN was celebrating its 20th anniversary. And this year we'll be celebrating our 50th anniversary. Remember this one?
I remember the song, but I couldn't tell you who did it.
Steve Winwood and Roll With It.
Huh.
I wouldn't have been able to either, so no big deal. Brad Ness is my guest on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN. We got him born in the Northfield City Hospital on 2nd Street. We have him living on Madison up in that area, then moving over to St. Olaf Avenue and going to Longfellow School, then over to the junior high, and then to the Northfield High School, and then on to St. Olaf College. And from St. Olaf College, he worked for Dave Smith for a while, then he worked for Town and Country, and that's where we left off.
Yeah.
So where did you go after Town? And did you go, Town and Country was then sold to Don McRae?
I think Don sold it to Ron and Dean.
Oh, that's how that went. Okay.
I believe.
Okay, and then the writing was on the wall in regards to the fact that Office Supply Company, Staples, and just like Target ran everybody out of town, and Cubs and all that.
It was going to be a hard market, or harder to do what I was doing, because people could get it. At that time, there wasn't Amazon who would ship it to you free, but they could go to Office Max or Office Depot or Staples and get it considerably cheaper than what we were selling it for, and so...
So, the writing was on the wall, and you're going to have to change careers. And so then you decided to?
Frank Gates was looking for somebody to come in his office as an agent. So I talked to him and worked for him for several years.
Now, was he on Bridge Square at the time?
He was on Bridge Square, right now, where the chamber is now.
The chamber moved from Highway 3?
They did. And they opened their doors last week.
Right next to
Newger's building.
Okay.
The first building on Bridge Square to the west of his building.
Okay.
So the chamber and the NDDC and the NEC are all located in that office. So the tourism, you know, and offices in there. So
they're closer to our downtown.
They are.
And the biggest attraction.
Right in the heart. Yep.
The Northfield Historical Society.
Yep.
And now, Frank Gates, is a guy, are you really good buddies with him?
I worked for him for several years.
Okay. Well, I have invited Frank to be on my show lots of times. And his wife, Eva?
Evie.
Excuse me, she just celebrated her birthday.
Ah.
And his daughters have all said, Dad, honey, go on the show.
Right.
Because he is a fountain of information.
Oh.
I mean, a fountain. All the way back to the Gates Cafe. And I don't really know that much about the Gates Cafe. Do you?
I do not, other than the little bits and pieces I learned when I worked for him.
Yeah.
I know it was where Edward D. Jones is or...
Yeah.
On Division Street, just south of the Rubenstein, but...
Yeah. And I just wish he'd come on here and talk about, you know, his mother was a legend.
Right.
In that business. And just chit-chat about that. I mean, we're losing time.
Exactly.
I mean... Life goes on. I've been to some funerals lately, and you say, holy cow, you know, I didn't know that person was that old. By that old, I don't mean they were old. I mean, I thought they were, you don't, you, when you grow up, you don't realize, or you spend 50 years in the community.
Time sort of stops.
You forget that, hey, that kid graduated in 1972 or whatever.
Right.
And you go, oh, yeah, okay. So you worked for Frank selling what
insurance?
Was he an independent agent?
He was.
Okay.
He was with an agency associated with the bank where Neuer is. I think it was a First Bank at the time?
It was, I can tell you what it was. It was a Northfield National Bank.
Originally, yes.
And then it switched over and
Harry Shearer.
Took over. And then another guy that was real interesting. But I remember when they passed the law that you couldn't sell insurance in the bank. You know, when they make a loan, then they walk you over to the insurance.
Right, yep.
And they said you have to be totally independent and not physically in the same place or whatever it was so that people can make a choice. And at that time, people felt they had to buy the insurance from that banker.
Right.
And were you just adjacent to the building?
Next to, I think you could get there by going down the back stairway into the basement and then back up into the bank, but it was separate, you know, from street level. So.
And what type of insurance did you sell?
House and cars, primarily. Frank did most of the business stuff at that time.
What'd you do?
I was in the office and servicing, you know, making changes and contacting people about their home and auto. So
you weren't on the street selling?
Not very much at that time.
Okay, so you started off being an assistant to Frank?
Right. He wanted to find somebody to buy his agency out, and it just never worked between us.
Oh.
So I went to work for an agency in Lakeville on my own, just as an independent contractor for them. You know, they hold, an agency holds the contracts that you can write through. Even an independent agent can't write with just anybody. Some agency has to have a contract with that company. So
the independent operators have to have a relationship with the company that they're representing.
That's correct.
And the buyer, the hook would be, I am independent, and therefore I can search for you for various from various companies, and get you the lowest rate on your car and house and life or whatever. Did you guys do life and all that too?
I did some life. I'm licensed with life insurance. I don't push it a whole lot. If somebody comes and says, "Hey, I need some life insurance," I can write it.
Okay,
but I'm not out there pounding the pavements to sell that. So.
Now, are you still working out of Lakeville?
I am not. I'm working through an agency out of Prior Lake. A friend of mine bought an agency there and needed some agents. So it was a good deal and went to work for him. I don't remember how many years ago, 6 or 7.
Now, do you carry your clients with you?
Yes.
Hopefully you can.
Right.
And then whoever you're leaving kind of gets ticked off about it?
Yeah.
I mean, it can cause concern, I'm sure.
Right.
Hey, man, I trained you. I did everything. I did this and that for you. And now you're leaving me with 100 of my clients?
Yeah.
Because they get a little bite out of everything you sell, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, it's 10 o'clock already. We're going to take a break and get the news. Brad Ness is my guest this morning. Brad is a city councilman here in Northfield, Northfield High School graduate, St. Olaf College graduate, and I would have to say a business owner, or at least work for many people in the community. So he is definitely a townie.
Pricing on Wall Street, Dems memo on Trump's desk. I'm John Trout. The Dow Jones Industrial Average has climbed after recovering from a plunge of more than 500 points today. Correspondent Christine Romans.
The worst point yesterday, the Dow was down 1,600 points. It's hard to even say those numbers. 1,600 points. It closed down about 1,100. The worst point decline in history.
That was yesterday. The Dow currently up 141 points. The White House was given a memo from Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee's look at Russian election meddling. The panel's top Democrat, Adam Schiff, is concerned the memo could be released with revisions.
What I'm more concerned about is that they make political redactions. That is, not redactions to protect sources or methods, which we've asked the Department of Justice and FBI to do, but redactions to remove information they think is unfavorable to the president.
New York Congressman Chris Collins says there will most likely be more to come.
My guess is that after the Democrat rebuttal is released, and I'm confident it will be, you'll probably see a Republican rebuttal to the rebuttal.
Vice President Mike Pence has arrived in Japan on his way to South Korea for the Olympic Games. Pence will meet with Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, and he arrives in the region with new threats from North Korea.
U.S. Disarmament Ambassador Robert Wood warns North Korea may be only months away from being able to hit the U.S. with a nuclear-tipped ballistic missile. Wood made the statement while addressing the U.N.-sponsored Conference on Disarmament in Geneva Monday. Wood also warned of expanding arsenals in China and Russia, saying Russia, China, and North Korea are growing their stockpiles, and he said in some cases pursuing the development of new nuclear capabilities. Scott Carr, Washington.
A British judge has upheld a UK arrest warrant for WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, leaving his legal position unchanged after more than 5 years inside the Ecuadorian embassy in London. I'm John Trout.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life.
Let's see if you can identify this song.
It's gonna be real.
You heard a little bit of it recently.
Gonna make
I did.
It right.
Yeah.
As I turn up the
halftime show?
Yep. This is Prince. Right. Man in the Mirror. Remember they did? Brad and I were at the same Super Bowl party, and I recorded it. And when I went home yesterday, I watched. You know, parts of the game and
sure.
the halftime show. Because when you're at the party, you know, everybody's talking, getting
yep.
something to eat,
yep.
go in the bathroom, going to the refrigerator, whatever. So, did you do that?
Record it? No.
No, you didn't?
Nope.
Okay.
Did you win money the second time?
I didn't win that.
Oh.
No, I thought I had $800 for sure. And then damn Philadelphia didn't kick an extra
didn't,
point.
They yeah, went for two.
Gee. Well, I'm over it now, you know. Could have used the money, though.
Yeah.
So we're talking to Brad Ness. Brad Ness is a city councilman and a true townie, and we're following his career, and we'll play catch-up here. Now, you went to work for Frank Gates here in Northfield as mm-hmm. an insurance guy, and then you went to Lakeville.
Yep.
As an insurance guy for an independent operation.
Correct.
And then you went to and are at a New Prague agency?
Prior Lake.
Prior Lake, okay.
Yep.
And you work out of there. Now, at your age, and having been in the business so many years, do you still have to hustle and find potential clients all the time, or can you just work the people that are with you and help them and all that?
Most of my new business is from referrals, and been in business this long and been, you know, I office in my house here in town, and my office phone is in my pocket, so wherever I'm at, I take client calls.
Okay.
So
do you still have to, as we used to say, knock on doors?
Cold call, almost never.
Oh, that's good. That's got to be nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
Yeah. I always remember I had a couple of uncles that worked for Prudential. And in those days, they had a route. And they would go and collect
the
monthly payments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the reason they did that is because you could find out if you had a newborn.
Yep.
Or whatever, and you become close with the family, but they're on the road all the time at night.
Collect the $2.27
yeah.
that somebody owed. Or
yeah. Some of those policies are, well, if you figure in recession and inflation and blah, 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 so what? But they look good, you know. Like
sure.
I have a policy on my daughter that costs $107 a year. I bought it when she was
mm-hmm.
like one. $107 a year.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty, and it looks pretty good now. You know?
Absolutely.
You know, every January they take it out of my checking account. Otherwise, I would forget. But nowadays, 107 won't buy you anything.
No.
In a year. 5 minutes, 6 minutes after 10 o'clock, Brad Ness, my guest on KYMN Radio. So that's where you're at right now. Your office is at home. You have your office phone in your pocket, and you stop in and talk to the guys over in Prior Lake every once in a while.
I used to office there for a while and decided it would be a whole lot easier officing at home, and I didn't have to pay them rent.
Oh.
So.
Oh.
Oh. I pay myself rent as a business expense.
Oh, of course, yes.
So it works out very well, and everything is electronic nowadays. You don't have to be in an office, you know. And I didn't get clients to come to Prior Lake because most of my business is in town here.
Now, are you young enough to remember the first digital watch or the first Pong and the stuff that, you know, started all this going on?
Played Pong occasionally. Somebody would have that game somewhere in a college dorm room.
Yeah. So. I remember if you made a deposit of $1,000, you can get a digital watch from the bank, you know, and you go, now they're like $4,
yeah.
$8, something yeah. like that. So then you started to participate in community activities,
mm-hmm.
and did you join any organization?
I was in Sertoma for several years. I have to look at my notes. I have kept track of what I joined Sertoma in 1985, and in 2012 I had to resign from that because I was offered the ability to daycare for my grandson.
Oh.
On Tuesdays, and they met on Tuesdays, and my priorities kind of switched when I had grandkids. So
how many grandkids do you and Kathy have?
Three.
Wow. One of each?
Three grandsons. Exactly.
I always use that line when there are three kids. So you got three boys?
Three boys.
What are their names?
Charlie. He will be 7 the end of this month.
Now, is Charlie Krista's or Andrew?
Krista.
Okay.
I have had him at least one day a week since he was about a month or two old.
Wow. Poopy. And then after Charlie, who?
Is Ben.
And whose is that?
That's Krista's.
Okay.
He's 4.5-ish.
Okay, and then after Ben?
Is Schroeder.
Schroeder. I've not heard that name, first name.
Yeah.
Schroeder.
Except on the Charlie Brown, he's the guy that plays the piano, is Schroeder.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. I just know the girl that misses a, or no, she holds a football.
Lucy.
Yeah. For
Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
He always misses. Okay. Kind of like the Vikings and, but, Schroeder is how old?
14 months.
Is that the Krista's also?
That's Anders.
Anders, oh. Mm-hmm. Okay. So who are you babysitting for?
Have Charlie and Ben occasionally overnight.
Uh-huh.
Parents are going to Costa Rica in a couple weeks, so
good
we'll have
them
for 3-4 days.
Well, that would be nice.
Oh, it'll be wonderful.
Yeah. Don't you wish that you could have spent as much time with Krista and Anders as you can with Charlie and Ben?
There was a thing about making money, trying to pay for them.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying,
yeah.
Is that, you know, you get a little bit older and start having grandchildren and your responsibilities are fewer, and you'd say, well, this is kind of fun. This is kind of neat.
It is very neat.
But other than that, you're gone all the time.
Yep.
Particularly in insurance, I think. So, is this a itinerary?
That's my little notes of what I've done.
What is that? Anything we missed on the front page there?
Nope. High school in St. Olaf. Well, and volunteering at the Historical Society.
What did you do there?
For several years, volunteered in the store. I was on the jury when. Remember when they had the trial of Frank and Jesse?
Guess what? Do you remember that ne'er-do-well that
yes,
was
yes,
supposed
I
to
do.
Video?
Yes, I do.
They have popped up.
The videos have?
I do. I have them.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, man.
So do you want to be the fundraiser to have somebody produce it, edit it?
Wow. So it's all just raw footage right now?
They're in some just some formula. They're like little cassettes.
Oh, sure.
And I was
a handheld video camera had those.
And I was thinking if I could get Meshbacher, you know, the attorney that
yep.
was...
Defense attorney?
Yeah. I was hoping to get him to pay for it because I know he was really interested in them.
Oh, sure.
If you don't know what we're talking about, many years ago...
July of 1997.
Many years, holy cow, 21 years ago.
Yep.
We put together a mock trial of the James Younger gang, and we had Miles Lord as the judge.
Yep.
And we had a jury of 12 men because women,
right?
Yeah, women weren't on juries back in 1876. And we all dressed up in 1876 clothes, authentic, mm-hmm. and rode in on horse-drawn buggies. And we had three prisoners, and it was Tom Ryder and Chip DeMann and me. And we were the Younger Brothers, I believe. And... this was a true trial, and it was very. Dave Vistendahl was the
prosecutor. Yep.
And I got those tapes. They had disappeared for years.
Huh.
The fellow that was hired to do that project turned out to be, unfortunately, a ne'er-do-well who had to leave town.
Mm-hmm.
And he passed away.
Oh, okay.
And so these tapes just came out of nowhere.
Huh.
And I've got them. So if you want to head up a committee to get them produced, I know where we can get them downloaded into a current venue or whatever you say.
Onto digital?
The Pavlik Museum of Broadcasting can drop it onto something that's more editable. Thank you. Is that a word? Editable.
It is now.
Okay. So wouldn't that be exciting?
That would
to do
be.
That. You know, that I mean, be. Just for the historical society.
Exactly.
All right. Maybe you can nudge me. I know I got ones independent of the group, and I just got to be able to put them together. So I have all of them.
Huh.
I had an offer from a lady in Boston Public Television. That is a producer and editor, but she doesn't know the story.
Right.
You know? So you almost have to have you or me or somebody there with an editor to say, well, this would have been the first sequence.
Right.
Pretty exciting news, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget it in case I drop dead tomorrow. All right?
Okay.
Okay, so you've been involved with the Northfield Historical Society and also the Sertomans. And, of course, do you have any other things that I'm missing?
Well, I played Ole in the Ole and Lena night.
You're going to tell people that was you?
Sure.
I never heard such foul mouths in my life. One coming from you, the other from a 90-year-old woman.
And her jokes were raunchier than mine.
I know.
We had the first year we did it at Froggy Bottoms and just squeezed people in there. And we both arrived at Froggy Bottoms and we said, how are we doing this? And I said, I don't know. You do one, I do one. Well, I'd do one, then she'd do one, and I'd be laughing. So she'd just keep right on going and do another one, and I'd be laughing. And so she'd do another one, and then I'd do one or two. And
well, we're talking about Ole and Lena jokes.
Yes.
Yeah. Was there anybody that protested and said that that was not nice, that you were teasing the Norwegians?
Well, I'm 100% Norwegian descent.
Yeah.
According to my parents. You know, I'm sure if you have your DNA checked and whatever, you're not going to be 100%. But
yeah,
the lineage goes back, and so I figure if anybody can do it, I can.
And how about Marion?
I'm not sure if she's 100. She's a whole lot Norwegian. Yeah.
So you're telling jokes on yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah. So where'd you go from Froggy Bottoms?
Went from Froggy's to the upstairs Rubenstein. And that year we had about 150 people in attendance, and packed the upstairs Rubenstein. And Marion was still involved with that one. She wanted out. So the next year we thought, that's too crowded, so we did it at the Grand. And there was 275 people in attendance the first year at the Grand.
Was there a charge?
They charged $10 per person, which, you know, they had a buffet line of, you know, light hors d'oeuvre kind of stuff. Chuck wanted $5 to pay for that, and the other $5 went to the Historical Society.
Cool.
Yeah. So
that's pretty good. That's and over $1,000 for the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For... There was some work.
Can you tell one?
If I think about it, the clean ones, the FCC may not like most of them.
Well, Jeff wouldn't, that's for sure. Oh. But aren't there any clean ones?
Yeah, but you've stumped me temporarily.
Okay, all right. So moving along to page two, I don't want to miss anything. We haven't gotten to our city business yet, but...
Well, the defeat of Jesse James Day's committee.
You've been on that?
Since 1985.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Have you ever been a chairman?
Not quite as long as you, Wayne, and thank you for that.
You've been a chairman?
I was chairman in...
A couple times?
A couple times, 93, 94, and 2007, 2008. So,
fun job.
Oh, that's probably one of the easiest jobs in my mind on the whole committee, because everybody else is doing their little thing, and all the general chairman should be doing is saying, if you have a problem, come to me, and try and figure out a solution to that problem. So,
what other committees have you chaired?
The big wheel tractor pull, or the big wheel, the big wheel, those... Little trike things.
Yep.
They had a race down by Econo Foods right in front of what is now Imminent Brewing. And my kids were of the age, so I'd take them to Target or whatever kind of, store like that to buy prizes. They loved it.
Yeah,
they said,
sure.
Oh, here. Take
some. Yeah, and I can just imagine.
And then it was fun. Kids would wipe out on those things. You know, they'd go around a corner and just spin. I was in charge of the arena in 1999 for some reason when Bob Matheson couldn't do it. I have been in charge of concessions at two separate occasions. I've played J.S. Allen in reenactment since the year 2000. And I've now been on the gambling committee for 5 years, 6 years, counting money and making sure pull tab stuff is accurate.
They have watchdogs on that.
Oh. The state doesn't let you get by.
I mean, if people realize how much the state gets out of the pull tabs, it's nice that you donate to the fire department or defeat of Jesse James Days or whatever, but the accounting that you have to do and the dollars that you have to pay by state statute, people that work on the committee have to be paid.
They require that, if I'm on that committee and doing that, I have to be paid.
Yeah.
I can't do it as a volunteer thing.
Right.
So.
And they have watchdogs and all that. And a lot of, there have been incidents of cheating in regards to that. On the sales side, I remember one place years and years ago, when there's like 10 tickets left or 20 tickets left, and they didn't cross the things off on the board,
mm-hmm.
but they would know, They'd call up a boyfriend or a girlfriend and say, come on in and buy the rusty sticker
and
like 50 or 100 and give them a check, get them all, open them up, get paid, buy the check back, and that doesn't happen anymore.
It does not. Well, the committee uses only machines.
Yeah.
You know, so you put a $20 bill in and push the button and you get 20 tickets if it's a dollar game. So it takes the humans out of counting the tickets and the money kind of stuff. They have to pay prizes with cash.
But they do cross them off on the board, the prizes.
So you can do it either way. You can either not do it at all.
Oh.
Or if you do it, you should make it accurate, but it's still the gambler's obligation to make sure that that board is correct. You can ask to see the unpaid receipts. Say, can I see what's not been paid in that game?
Oh, you can.
Yes.
Even if they don't cross them out, you can ask.
Yes.
Okay. So. Yeah. Don't you think that would help sales, wouldn't it? Well, I don't know. You know, if I don't know. And there's a huge stack. I wouldn't want to buy a pull tab, but if I see there's a few left and there's a couple hundred dollars left, I would probably buy one.
Oh yeah.
Only when I do that, I do it because I know it's going to the defeated Jesse James days. Except when I was chairman, I couldn't buy them.
Right, and I can't buy them because I'm a paid employee. Yeah. My wife could buy them. Well, yeah, she can. Because she does not have any, she's on the board, but she does not have anything to do with the gambling operation.
Yeah.
So.
At 24 minutes after 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio, my guest this morning is a gentleman by the name of Brad Ness. And we're talking about different things here. He's a true townie, and he's got a roadmap there for me, but it's in his possession. So where should we go next? We do want to talk a little city business, and maybe you'll have to come back for page 3, 4, and 5.
That would work, too.
Okay. I enjoy talking to you. I'll take a brief break, and then we'll talk city business, all right? Okay. We'll be right back right after this important timeout on the Wayne Eddy Affair.
You thought you could make a midnight run to the store for a loaf of bread. What you got was a minor fender bender instead. I'm State Farm Agent Mark Quinnell in Northfield, and I know that accidents can happen anytime. That's why we give you 24-hour good neighbor service, so night or day, help is just a phone call away. For your insurance and financial needs, phone me, State Farm Agent Mark Quinnell, at 645-4545.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Well, if you're going to have to come back for part 4, I guess this would be an appropriate song. Do you recognize it?
We're no strangers to love.
Yes, but...
Yeah, just like me. It's Rick Astley, that's his name. Here it comes. Never Gonna Give You Up. I played that because obviously we're going to have to come back for number 4 here. But I had the opportunity to chit-chat with you on Sunday at a Super Bowl party. And I also started asking, and then others joined in that are very committed to our community, other people. And the question was, and I don't have any skin in the game, I don't have any kids that play hockey or grandkids that play hockey, but there are a lot of hockey people in this town, and ice is needed. And the old one down there, I remember when Rod Grubman, is that his name?
Rod Grubb?
Yeah, Rod Grubb.
And Dave Houck and...
And Jim Mahacek. And I don't know why, but I want to say Marv Grundhofer. Maybe he was mayor at the time or something. But I know that Alan... I was involved in that. Anyhow, I remember the first one. I remember when they started the Northfield hockey team.
Yep.
And then they're really enthusiasts. And then there was this big push to get a, well, they ended up being privately owned and operated. Well, after the kids or grandkids started, the interest is lost, and it just sat there. And then the next thing that I thought was controversial is that the city bought it from the former owners after it sat empty for quite a while, and they paid a good price for it. And I was thinking, you know, in the real world, you just don't give what they ask. You push it as far down because nobody else is going to buy it.
Right.
But
maybe that was. I guess I don't know the history on that part of the whole arena.
Well, that's my belief. You know.
Yep.
So the city does end up buying it, mm-hmm. and it's a second-class arena in regards to what the Hazzies built up in Lakeville,
right.
and others around the state, gorgeous facilities. And visiting teams come here, and they go, what? They can't make that much of an improvement to the place.
Right.
It's brick and mortar, and the locker rooms are small and tight, and it stinks. And the ice is fine. As far as I've been told, that the ice is great. The stands are uncomfortable and cold. That's what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're a city councilman. Your grandkids are too young to skate, although Charlie could start pretty soon. They start them very young.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever been involved in hockey as a participant or if Anders or Krista were involved in it. But you are involved in it now. What is going on with the Northfield Hockey Rink?
There is an ice arena task force that was established, I think, 2 years ago. The mayor appointed me to that task force, so I've been on it just a little over a year. It's a group of people that have gotten together to say, what are we going to do? People from the Hockey Association represented, the city, St. Olaf, and we can get into that in a minute. That's primarily, you know, who is on this committee. And they were talking about, okay, there's options. Do we fix the current arena? Do we build an arena attached to St. Olaf's arena that they were raising money for and just reached that goal a couple months ago to start their construction? Or do we build a standalone facility? The committee met and talked, and there was, you know, to fix the current arena, just to get it up to today's standards in terms of the, you know, ammonia system of how you cool things and all that, and they're not making the chemical that goes into that now. They bought enough to last for 3 more years, but once that's gone, then they have to redo the whole freezing system. But to get it up to current standards, not taking into account locker rooms, seating, is about $2 million. If they want to fix bathrooms and locker rooms and entryway and perhaps have a little warm-up room area to add on to the building, that's probably another $3 million. And most of the people on the committee said, you know, lipstick on a pig kind of thing. You know, do we want to spend that much money and still have a facility that people will come and say, why do I want to play in this? The option at St. Olaf, you know, again, St. Olaf was raising money to take their old indoor track facility, field house, and turn it into a hockey rink.
Where is that at?
Attached to Skoglund, kind of on the north end.
Okay.
You know, the current...
Down in the valley.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yep. It's the farthest north piece of that whole facility. To do that, if the city wanted to add a structure attached to that, St. Olaf said, well, we don't want the traffic coming through campus, so we'd have to build a road. I'm not sure if you know where the St. Olaf recycling or composting facility is across the road from the hospital, the road would probably come out right there, and that's going to cost a couple million.
Oh, that's a long road.
It's a couple million bucks.
Yeah.
Just for the road. So, you know, St. Olph was positive for quite a while on, yes, we think this might work. Then they looked at, you know, they would have to redo tennis courts that are kind of tucked into the building right now, and it was going to be expensive for them. So they said, well, you know, we're going to go ahead with our construction. They're just going to have one sheet of ice in the old fieldhouse building. The city was going to build, or the option was to build a sheet attached to it, you know, to share locker rooms, share some of the expenses. That price, if I remember correctly, because you only have to build three walls, was in the neighborhood of $10 million.
Run that one by me again.
If the city were to build a sheet of ice attached to St. Olaf's Fieldhouse that they're redoing, you know, you could share the Zamboni, you could share perhaps some of the ice-making equipment. You know, there's a whole lot of things you could you wouldn't have to worry about locker rooms because they would be there. That price to just to add three-wall building and a sheet of ice, so you'd have two sheets of ice next to each other. And don't quote me on these numbers. You know, the architects and consultants throw a whole lot out, but it seems to me it was about $10
million. Wow. And three walls because it'd be attached on
it. It would be attached on the one wall. And then St. Olaf looked at exactly where that would sit in terms of their facilities currently, and they would have a lot of expenses moving stuff that they need, like the tennis courts and things. So that option sort of went out. St. Olaf is in the process of putting their arena in, or ice, their sheet of ice in, and there still is a chance that the city could get that occasionally. You know, they're not going to get the prime hours, but if they have a tournament in town, might be able to use that. So that option is still at least on the table.
Rent,
absolutely. The third option the committee looked at is what would it take to build a standalone facility of either one sheet or two sheets of ice. There was a consultant did a market study of how many sheets of ice this town could support. St. Olaf used to rent approximately one-third, you know, 30% thereabouts of the current ice arena. Well, they took hours that are going to be hard to fill. You know, they took the during school hours, the noon to four-ish hours, you know, so they got a little better rate. But, you know, you can't put a high school team in during the 1 to 4. You know, the prime hours are 3 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And there's a lot of people who may be able to rent that, you know, from Farmington, rents a lot of time at Shattuck. You know, if the city had a facility that was worthwhile, they could rent that at 10 p.m. to midnight. And
I've heard that there are hockey parents that have to take their kids to hockey practice at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
Is that, that's right on?
That is true.
Jeez.
Yep. Yeah. But that's when they can get ice time.
Yeah.
You know, Shattuck rents their stuff out. And again, the prime time hours are not available because Shattuck's using it.
Why would you say Shattuck could use some ice time in Northfield?
No, Shattuck doesn't need ice time.
It doesn't. Okay.
No, but Farmington rents Shattuck time.
Oh, they go all the way to Faribault.
Right.
Yeah, well, I get it.
So
get
have
it.
Them drive 12
how many,
miles. 12.
How many sheets of ice does Shattuck have?
I don't know for certain. Okay. I would guess at least two.
Okay.
They have, you know, their coach, Shattuck's coach, came from the L.A. Kings.
That's what I heard. Isn't the coach for St. Olaf a big-time guy?
Yes.
And you're not going to remember his name.
Nope.
I want to do a show with him.
Yeah.
And I understand he's really an outgoing guy. I know he lives on one of the lakes down in Faribault.
Ah, okay.
But I can't remember his name. So let me see if I can get this straight now. Is hockey so prominent and so much in demand that you can't just say, hey, we can't afford hockey rinks and buildings? And when this old one's done, after the 3 years of the chemicals they use, it's going to shut down. It's aging. And St. Olaf doesn't want us up there, and understandably so, in regards to the $3 million road or whatever you said it would cost. It could be the demise of hockey unless they can travel to Shattuck or Lakeville.
Hockey is a big thing, and I'm also on the Convention and Visitors Bureau appointed by the city, and the hotels are very slow. December's okay. January, February are pretty slow. So they want the Convention and Visitors Bureau to find things that'll fill hotel rooms. And the job of the Convention and Visitors Bureau is to do just that. So hockey tournaments on weekends fill hotels. The consultants also had statistics that said the operation of a hockey rink, not necessarily the building cost, everything to operate it is going to be a wash. You can generate enough income with ice rental and, you know, auxiliary stuff that goes on to pay for the operations. And they also said that in terms of adding money into the town would be $3 million a year, you know, restaurants, shops, etc. So it is, it's a very positive thing in that way. It's just paying for the building. And there's ways of doing that. You know, Ben Martig's working on that right now, is to say, okay, if we did this, it would cost X. And if we did it this way, and we haven't seen all of those options yet.
Ben Hartig is a city administrator, for people that aren't aware of that.
Right. Yeah.
I would wonder if so you're saying that basically there's a consultant that says you put up the building, it's going to cost you X amount of dollars. However, it will take care of itself when it comes to running the facility, but you'll have to pay for the building. But of course, you're going to put it down for the entire thing, and then
right.
the operation will pay for itself.
Correct.
But the building itself would have to be amortized, or whatever you say.
And they're looking at exact prices, and at our next meeting, they should have a little closer idea. The numbers they threw out a month ago at the meeting was a single sheet of ice, standalone building with everything done, landscaping, parking lot, the building. Rinks now have to have an underground heating system so they don't heave.
You know, I was over, you were carrying on this conversation with Jim Johnson, I think,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going, 6 feet underground heating, and they're talking about hockey. What's that story?
The ground will freeze, you know, from the cooling system of the ice, the ground freezes down, and I don't know exactly how deep that is. They said it's fairly deep, but they need a system underneath there to keep the ground from freezing, because a frozen ground is going to heave, and then you're going to have bumps in the ice, and the concrete pad that it sits on will crack and wear out. And there's some evidence of that in the current arena, but it's been amazingly, you know, it hasn't heaved
flat
enough. Right. Amazingly flat. Okay. So, But, you know, the original number for a single sheet of ice, you know, and it has locker rooms for high school and varsity and, you know, several options of locker rooms, officials' rooms, coaches' rooms, bathrooms, adequate seating for, I think, 1,500 people was originally in the neighborhood of $17 million, and everybody said, go back and look at that number. That sounds high. Because there's some arenas that have been built recently that weren't that much, but when you add inflation, it could be. You know, Shakopee built a two-sheet arena 4 years ago or thereabouts for $21
million. Jeez, for high school.
Well, it's more than just high school. You know, it's a community thing. Right. It's like putting money into a park facility. You know?
How much time would open skating be allowed, and at what time?
The Northfield Skating Club, which is recreational skating and skating lessons and all that, has had a seat at the table of this committee too. And they would rent it a fair amount. There's a pretty big skating operation outside of hockey in this town that nobody probably knows about. You know, so that would, you know, that kind of stuff pays for the operations.
Now, I know that it was introduced, I think, 2 years ago to have a hockey tournament in town during defeat of Jesse James days.
Uh-huh.
And wow, what a great idea. That'd be fantastic. And I believe they pulled it off. I don't know the results 100%, but I don't think it ran the second year. Do you recall?
The city generally lets the ice go in the summer,
yeah,
or some of the summer months,
mm-hmm,
and because it's really expensive to keep ice in it in the summer, obviously. So it did not run because and from what I've heard, I haven't talked to them specifically on it, but they needed to get rid of the ice to do something
the
with
book fair.
Well, yeah, and Home and Garden Show, you know, yeah, is out there. Yeah. They obviously can't have ice.
Yeah.
So things like that. And a new arena would be easier, supposedly, to make ice and take it out.
Do you recall how well they did with the tournament, DJJD?
I do not.
Okay. I think the idea was excellent. And I think the people that participated thought it was pretty cool to have all that activity going on while the kids playing hockey, you know, for the brothers and sisters and whatever.
It's a wonderful time of year to have a hockey tournament, I would think.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, the parents that come are not going to find a hotel room in town.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah.
Do you want it in January when you can sell out the Northfield hotels, mm-hmm, or do you want it defeat a Jesse James weekend when they have to go even farther than maybe Faribault to find a hotel room?
Well, I'm going to tell you something that you probably don't know. Have you ever heard of the name Bob Lertzema?
Yes, I have.
Of course. Well, back in 1978, 79, whenever the interest rates were just absolutely crazy, you know, 20%, he and I were looking at putting in a facility with a sheet of ice for hockey and a sheet of ice for figure skating lessons, mm-hmm, things like that, because his wife was a teacher, a top-ranked teacher for figure skating. So we thought about that and where would we put it. And we had some plans drawn up, and it was going to be a sports bar with two sheets of ice.
Mm-hmm.
And great idea. We're going to put it down in the Jesse James Arena.
Hmm.
And we went to some bankers. And it was crazy. I mean, just as expensive as what you're talking about today for that period, but 20% interest rate on the money. So we abandoned that really quick. But the plans looked great. It was fun looking at them.
Oh, like, sure. Oh,
this will go here and this can go here. So that was my closest run with the hockey situation. Do you think that that's going to be resolved soon, this year?
It's going to come, you know, that committee, the Ice Arena Task Force, will make a recommendation to the city council, you know, and a presentation to say, here's what it's going to cost, here's the operational expenses, here, you know, once all the numbers are together, here's what it would cost the city to do this. Then I'm pretty sure it would probably have to go to a referendum, but Ben's working on that too to see if there's other ways to finance this. And there is ways, but still it could, you know, do a reverse referendum where if the council approves it, somebody says, wait. You know, they have 30 days to say, we're going to bring it to a vote, and I would get... And it just has to be analyzed, you know, how much is it going to raise your property taxes? If we can do a regional facility, include Dundas in that, there might be an option for a regional sales tax. That's one of them, and that would pay a big chunk.
That'd be kind of like the Northfield School District. Regional.
And again, that region has to be defined, but in order to even get one of those approved by the legislature, it has to be a regional thing, because if Northfield went and said, Northfield wants a 0.5% sales tax to build a hockey rink, it probably wouldn't fly, because it's Northfield. You include Dundas and a few outlying areas. Now it's
I mean, that's a thought that they're discussing, a sales tax?
Absolutely.
Oh, boy.
And
this is going to be an uphill climb.
And that may or may not fly. Don't know. You know, all this would probably be brought to the voters.
One of the first things I thought about when the billion-dollar... U.S. Bank Stadium,
mm-hmm.
and the taxes on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a, 0.5% tax on
everything.
And I'm going, you know, what about the car dealers? And I found out that they may have been, that didn't include high-ticket items or something, or a minimum or something. But, I mean, how can a guy selling cars in Minneapolis with a big tax on it compete with the guy in Burnsville or at Northfield? So there's some special legislation that helps out high-ticket end operations.
Yeah.
But, you know, what about Carleton? Do they still have a hockey team? I know that Wynn, you know who I mean when I say Wynn, had a bunch of boys.
Yep.
When?
Yeah, we'll come up with it at about 11:05.
Mitchell, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, Wynn Mitchell.
Yep. Owned College City Beverage.
He didn't own it. He worked there.
Oh, he worked there?
Yeah.
Oh,
no, no, he didn't. He was a salesman.
Okay.
So anyhow, I was taken aback because him and I were friends in the JCs. And had a lot of fun, and we laugh. But anyhow, when he became coach of the Carleton Knights hockey team, I was really taken aback, and I thought, wow, that's pretty cool to associate your name with Carleton College. So where's Carleton College in all of this?
I think their program, from what I've heard and understand, is it's strictly intramural, and they have several outdoor rinks on campus that those teams play. So I don't think they're much of a player in an indoor arena. That could change if they had a sheet and they had some hours that were okay to use instead of, again, the 5 a.m. or midnight shift.
Well, you know, that sports complex that they have up there,
mm-hmm.
you've been there, I'm sure, many times. You could come right off 19 into there. With some road that wouldn't be as dire as that one. And they could use some of their endowment to build it and then sell it and tried to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, maybe Northfield has some resident that loves hockey that has money to burn. And, I mean, literally, you know, never going to be able to spend it all.
Right.
And maybe you should put out a we need, you know, in all the papers and radio stations in the U.S., Northfield, Minnesota needs money for a hockey arena. Hey, a kickstart. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Hockey Association has started that kind of thing.
Oh.
I don't know where they're at on it. You know, they tried to raise money quite a few years ago for exactly that. So I think, you know, they have some connections. In fact, they hired a consultant to do that back then, but I think they're doing it on their own right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it on your own, it can be effective, but if you hire somebody to do it, they can usually raise a heck of a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
So
I remember when the Historical Society hired a professional for a fundraiser, that irked me. You know, we're spending money on somebody from out of our community to come in here and tell us what to do. And it turned out she did a very nice job.
Oh, yeah.
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 But, you know, I've always thought, God, someday I want to be a consultant. And what is a consultant? That's somebody that couldn't do it in real life but can tell you how to not do it. We'll be back with Dale Ness.
There you go again.
Boy, Brad, I'm sorry.
When it's time for preventative maintenance on your new car or truck, you don't just take your car into anyone. At Witt Brothers Service in Northfield, you know you found a name you can trust. To start, we're a Napa Auto Care Center, so the technicians we employ are experts trained in every aspect of your vehicle's maintenance. This gives you the peace of mind in knowing that everything we do is accepted under the terms of your manufacturer's warranty. Add to that the fact that we use quality Napa parts that meet or exceed original equipment and specifications. And you have the one place where you can entrust all of your vehicles. Come see Witt Brothers Service in downtown Northfield today. Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
You're not going to get this one.
No.
Get into my car.
Yeah.
Electric Light Orchestra?
Absolutely not.
Oh, thank you.
It's a Billy Ocean. And get out of my dreams, get into my car. 5 minutes before 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is KYMN out of Northfield, Minnesota. A friend you can count on, a friend that I can count on to carry on a conversation is a gentleman not named Stan Ness and not named
Dale
Ness. We're talking to a guy by the name of Brad Ness. And I'm sorry I do that to you frequently.
We answer to either.
Yeah.
Both of us.
Both
of you?
Yeah. So it's not, I'm not uncommon.
No.
Okay, that's good to hear. Is there any other final thoughts on the hockey question that's coming up in our community? And when will people be able to get involved?
Input from the community will happen later. The committee meets probably two more times, I would guess, to get the numbers together. To say, yes, here's the proposal that we would recommend. You know, we kind of, if I'm reading the committee correctly, the fix the existing arena is not really an option.
I agree with that.
And St. Olaf has kind of turned into not an option. So we need to look at what is a standalone arena going to cost. And, you know, the city can support, this town can support two sheets of ice, is what the consultants have said. So if we build a single sheet of ice freestanding somewhere and perhaps have enough land that in the future a second sheet could be added to it, you know, what is all that going to cost?
Does the city own any property that could be a viable site?
There is a very good option for that right now, and that will be made public probably at a future date.
Maybe behind, past the, not the police station, what am I thinking?
South of there?
Yeah, the Gleason property.
That's
where they're dumping
one very,
a quarry.
Yep.
Yeah.
That would all have to be taken off site.
Yeah.
But I'm sure Gleason has a market for it.
Yeah. they know how to do that stuff.
They do know how to move dirt.
Well, it seems to me that if the Hockey Association and the high school hockey people want to keep the sport in Northfield and viable in the future, there's going to be a lot of money spent no matter which way you go.
Correct.
People that could care less about hockey are going to go, what? Let's put in another swimming pool, or let's put in more softball fields, or let's do this or that.
And I almost forgot that the high school has been in these meetings, too.
Oh, so good.
I mean, they're a big player in who uses the ice.
They're a major user, aren't they?
Yeah, one of the major users is the high school hockey team, and then the Hockey Association, and their numbers are up, which is a good sign. So
I know that hockey fans are fanatics.
Yes, they are.
And I always like to kid when somebody says, my kid's playing hockey, I say, are you going to go bankrupt? Because they stuff is so expensive, and then they have to go on all these trips out of town on weekends. It just takes a lot of time and a lot of money, especially if you're a goalie. Well, I guess the association has the goalie equipment. Because it can cost $2,000, you know.
But then the kid outgrows the $500 pair of skates next year.
Well, I'm sure they have a skate exchange.
They probably do.
But I'm sure their kids say, I want a new pair.
Exactly.
I want some Nike skates if they make them. I don't even know if they do.
I don't know.
Yeah, to tell you a story, we were, when I say we, the defeated Jesse James, you may have gone, have you gone out to the Black Hills?
Yes, several times.
Okay, did you ever notice what we're talking about, folks, is the James Younger gang and other committee members and others that don't want to go out to the Black Hills in
Rapid City.
Rapid City, South Dakota, where they have one of the largest bullfighting.
Rodeo.
And it's amazing.
10 days.
And, and we'd go out there for a weekend. When I say we, I've been out there many times. I always noticed they had kids playing hockey. And the hotel rooms were full of hockey moms and dads and kids.
Yep.
Out there in South Dakota.
In the same building that the rodeo's going on, probably now. Yeah. You know, they probably have two sheets of ice down the hall.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I would assume that if you go the long way and a lot of money that, put in two sheets of ice, isn't that almost a requisite?
The operational expense gets out of balance from what we saw originally, and if the price can come down some, maybe you can do something different. I mean, it wasn't a Taj Mahal being built for $17 million. It's just
really
getting, that's one sheet.
Oh my gosh.
So if that could come to down several million dollars, maybe all the numbers would work. And again, those are being worked on. I talked to Ben yesterday, and he said, yep, we're working on this and this and this and this, and we should have it by the next meeting. So,
and that's when?
I don't even know when that's on my schedule.
Within a month?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, for those of you that are for hockey and those of you that are against hockey, I wanted to have the opportunity for Brad to tell us where it's at and what the thinking is in that regard, because you certainly don't want to all of a sudden wake up some morning and say, Northfield building $22 million arena says that they'll be able to fill it 24/7, you know. So now you know, folks. Brad, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having
me. We missed a lot of things.
We're on page two, and I got four more.
Okay. Well, good. I'm always looking for a guest. All right?
Yeah.
Okay. 11:01, by the way, Jim Johnson was going to be my guest tomorrow.
Yes.
But unfortunately, he called me early yesterday morning and said when I talked to him, he didn't have his book with him or his, you know, phone or, you know. And he called me and said, Wayne, I totally forgot. This has to go on Wednesday. So he won't be in. So if you want, you can come in tomorrow morning.
I need to check my calendar.
What's her name? Oh, you didn't say wife. You said that check. No. Okay. I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm just yep. letting you know. Okay. Now, you've been on radio with somebody else doing a show.
Yes.
Are you still doing that?
I'm not. Okay. I had to back out of that when I was running for office.
Okay. I thought you found it a little bit harder than you thought it would be.
Interview shows are not easy, and I appreciated those a whole lot more. Appreciated your show because you had to fill it five times a week. We had to do it once a week.
For an hour. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad you recognize that.
I recognized it big.
Okay. Now that you've been a guy on radio and all that, do you know the rules and regulations in regard to station identification?
We didn't have to do that.
Okay. Well, the rules are 5 minutes before or 5 minutes after the hour, unless it's a concert or
right.
a presidential speech or something, you have to give the call letters and the city of license.